Morning, everyone. Good morning. From the highways and byways, everywhere in between. I think it's Ed's birthday today, so we should sing to Ed.
Oh, she's here.
Oh, yours.
Ed Hynes' birthday?
Yeah, every day.
We don't have.
Every day is his birthday.
We don't have, and he doesn't have enough air to even blow out his candles anymore. Do you, Ed?
Right. Dirt's not that old.
He's the only old one.
They say you only pick up one you love.
Or the ones that are easy.
All right, we're on the subject matter of time on this March 4th, 2018.
Don't we set 4 o'clock ahead next Sunday?
Next Sunday, good reminder. Next Sunday, you get to jump ahead an hour. At least it's not Easter Sunday.
So how do you jump ahead, fall back, and jump ahead?
Sleep ahead. You lose an hour.
Yeah. Either way, it's not good.
Can't afford to lose.
Yeah. So during the month of stewardship, as Pastor Drog mentioned, we're looking at different topics related to stewardship. We'll define what stewardship is, too. Today we're going to be looking at the subject matter of time. Next week, Lord willing, we'll talk about talents and gifts. And then the third week, we're going to talk about stewardship in general and how it relates to specifically estate planning or planned giving. And then the fourth Sunday, Lord willing, we'll focus on financial resources. And the goal, again, overall, is to help us be God's stewards, managers of the gifts that he has given to us. Not necessarily from the church point of view, but from our lives as individuals, as Christians, and then how that applies to our fellow Christians and also then our connection to the church. One of the questions to start off with, and I don't want an answer now, we'll try to answer it later at the end of the class. Was man made for time, or time made for man? Was man made for time, or time made for man? Think that over during the class. We'll try to discuss it at the end.
What a question.
And with that question comes, why, what's the difference and what's the significance? There is a difference in what's the significance. All right. Stewardship, how can I find the time for? You ever ask that question? Which picture below describes your life? Depends which day, right?
Yep.
Depends which day. It goes with our vocations in life. Again, what we mean by vocation, you know, we're a Christian, man, woman, husband, wife, father, mother, son, daughter, employee, employer. Again, many of us, we have different vocations throughout our life, and so depending on which vocation or vocations we're focusing at the moment, we can feel like we're always with our hair on fire. I love sticky notes, but it gets to the point where you forget where you put all the sticky notes or to look at them because it just gets so many of them. Or pulled in too many directions. That happens a lot too. So in connection to the subject of time, just take a moment to describe in words what your life is like. Just on your own, either write it down, a couple thoughts, or just in your head, just take a couple moments on your own. Describe in words what your life is like. Especially when it comes to time. Each one of us, day by day. Maybe related to one of those three pictures or all three of them, or draw your own picture if you like to draw. All right, did you picture your life going in that direction? No. See that? All right?
Yeah, I did, sort of.
Sort of? Okay.
I mean, I'm living a retirement life that I get all freaked out.
All right. You know, just speaking of retirement, some people say, you know, I can't wait till I retire because I will have time for. How's that working out for you? I mean, you may have time for, but...
I never wanted to watch soap operas. That was my biggest fear of retirement.
Okay.
I wouldn't have time to watch soap operas.
There's something else. Usually I've heard that, I don't know how I found time to do everything else. Any other comments related to those first two?
Well, I think no matter what your age or where you are in life, you always got to manage your time. There's nothing you can do. If you don't manage your time, it's going to manage you. And then you're... Then I would take the middle one if I can add two words.
Okay.
Help me, I'm married.
Sure.
We're open. We have time for counseling later. But like I said, no matter our age or our situation in life, time of management is important. You always need to manage our time. Because it can easily get away from us. Especially if we're not on the spot people, you know, our personalities, we can easily get distracted by things.
Yeah, getting distracted, you only get that part of it. I find for myself, when I do my to-do list, I need to do a mental prioritization so that I can prioritize what's important. But the problem I have is everything's at the top of the list.
Yeah, prioritizing what's at the top of the list, Steve.
I have friends once, he gave me a tip on time management. Some of the problems in time, I just take 2 months. He said, you put the problem in a box. 2 days later, you open the box, look at the problems. If it's not a problem, you throw it out at that point. And if it still is, you leave it in there for 2 more days. If it's still a problem after 6 days, you've got a problem, go to work on it. The rest of them are just nuisances that just drive you crazy.
Well, and we'll build off of that concept. Good. So what are the factors contributing to this reality of either time slipping away from you or not having enough time to complete what you set out to do, whether it be daily, weekly, monthly, annually? What are some contributing factors?
Getting older.
Procrastination.
Yeah. Distraction.
Health issues,
okay. You know, there are some factors that are outside of our control and some that are in.
I was in bosses are a big one too. I'm not retired and bosses can really, by the end of the day, you're drained. You look at them and you're like, you're just drained to do anything at home then.
Okay, definitely. You know, for me too, I always struggle. I always feel like I have an appointment, you know, and I know when I need to be there. But there's one more thing I can get done. And then I end up late. So for me, I was holding the time, just running late. So I have to apologize a lot because there's one more thing. But then it leads to one more thing. So that's something I need to continually work on and be aware of.
Well, yeah. That also leads to, I'm not sure what I want to call it, but... that if you don't do that one more thing and manage your time properly, then your list just continues to get enlarged because you never get it done. You never get one of those things done. You can't take the list grows rather than getting checked off.
Sure. You know, part of that goes back to time management is making sure that we are realistic with our expectations of the use of time. You know, for me, it's blocks of time. So what can I get accomplished in that block? Lord, sometimes it works out. Other times it doesn't, just because, factors outside of your control. But each one of us has different ways. We'll talk about it at the end. But just, you know, for me, it's blocks of time, prioritizing in those blocks.
Yeah, but I don't care how many things that you have done and how many things you have in your list. As you mark them off, it's like the honey-do list. There's 10 more down below it.
Sure.
So you're always running to catch up.
Yeah.
And you never catch up.
That's a good point, which we'll address also. All right, so define stewardship. Define stewardship. All right, management of time and resources.
Making use of what God has placed in your hands.
Making use of what God has placed in your hands. Two great definitions so far. All right, let's look at Matthew 25, verses 14 to 30. With that definition of stewardship in mind. Break it up. 14 to 20, first of all. Steve.
Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted them with his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents of money, to another 2 talents, and to another 1 talent, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received the 5 talents went out at once and put his money to work. And gained 5 more. So also the one with the 2 talents gained 2 more. But the one who received 1 talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with him. The man who had received 5 talents brought them the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 talents. See, I have gained 5 more.
All right. 21 to 25. Yeah.
His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. The man with the 2 bags of gold also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 bags of gold. See, I have gained 2 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Then the man who had received 1 bag of gold came. Master, he said, I knew you were a hard man, harvesting where you did not sow and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went and hid your gold in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you.
In 26 to the end of that section.
His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sow not and gather where I have not straw. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money into the exchangers, and then at my coming I will have received mine and all with usury. Take therefore the talent from him and give it to him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servants into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth.
All right, so what's one game you don't want to play with a sloth? For sure? You seen the commercial? You don't want to play Pictionary with a sloth, right? Unless you got time. All right, so oftentimes we use this section to emphasize talents, and we can. So this is also a great account on the use of talents, but also on time. In what way? What does this account have to say to us about our use of time and stewardship?
Well, we all are given different gifts, but we all have the same responsibility to God.
Okay. We have all have different gifts, all have the same responsibility. We all have the same amount of time, right?
And we should be using that time wisely.
Yeah, that's one of the lessons too. We should use this time wisely. So again, this is a double-fold account with use of talents and gifts and time. Bottom line, when it comes to both our time and our talents, we need to use such wisely. We all have different gifts. All have been given the same amount of time. Use it wisely. What else from this account jumps out?
Expect results, expect fruit, expect good results.
No, that's not pushing that. There is an expectation to act. And then ask why you
give.
Yep.
Give me some money. I want more.
Yeah. Yes. And to those who have been given, right, who have realized that expectation and have the,
I think it encourages maybe thinking outside the box, stretching, and having faith that you don't just sit toward it and just say, okay, you don't rest on your laurels. You have to get out and do it.
Yeah, you can't save up time, but you can use it wisely, you know, again, invest in your time. And that way, there is an expectation to act, to use their time wisely, to manage their time. That's all being part of stewards of God and his gift of time. Again, God is the one who's given us the time, and he has an expectation of us to use that this time wisely. And we'll look at some ways that we're out to use that time in a moment. Ephesians 2, verse 10, in connection to what is stewardship? Familiar. Chuck?
For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do.
Okay? The NIV 84 version talks about we are God's workmanship. The NIV 11 uses the word handiwork, both emphasizing the same thing. Who's given us the ability to work God again, right? And created in Christ Jesus to do good works. So stewardship, again, God is the one who has created us. God is the one who's given us a purpose. God is the one who's given us the gift of time. And through faith in Christ, we are able, we are put in a position to use this time wisely. For good.
I don't know if anybody mentioned this, but there is accountability.
Yes.
We're accountable for that time, that gift that God has given us, no matter what the gift is.
Yep.
He's going to call us accountable.
We are accountable. So that's another good term to use in connection to stewardship of our time. So what makes us Christian stewards? Teaching the word, following the word, right?
Well, I guess it's that our objectives, our return on our stewardship is going to be kingdom stuff. Maybe not whatever your investment is here. Well, no, it's going to be spiritual dividends or whatever.
Okay. And again, so when we talk about those who have been given much, you know, that spiritual maturity, you recognize that God is the one who's called me, God is the one who's put me in position to use my time wisely, you know, then there is that accountability and expectation to use this time, as Mike pointed out, to the glory of God, as Jerry pointed out, you know, to follow in God's ways. Because what has made us Christian stewards? Not my decision, not my calling, not my works, God's calling. God is the one who has called me to be a Christian steward. All of us are stewards, whether we believe in God or not. God's going to hold all of us accountable as to our stewardship of the life he's given to us. But as a Christian, again, we recognize God has given us that right and privilege and opportunity, and there are expectations that come with it. Not because we have to, but because we get to, because we've been created in Christ Jesus to do that. You know, it's not like, should I live for God today as a Christian? That's an automatic.
I think a Christian steward's a faithful, humble servant. And that comes from the Word of God.
Okay.
That drives you to that servanthood. That drives you to that humbleness. And that's what's our motivation.
It is, a faithful, humble servant. Yes, we are. Part of that humility, then, is we who recognize how we're supposed to use our time are to gently encourage others who are not using their time wisely on how to use their time, you know, especially our fellow Christians.
Never gently.
All right, define time.
Never gently.
How would you define time?
Yeah. It's a limited resource that gives us an opportunity to accomplish whatever God wants us to do.
All right. Limited resource to accomplish what God wants us to do.
Well, it depends on how old you are. If you're old, it flies. Time flies.
Time flies. Okay, Steve first.
It's a artificial piece of work that the Lord made up to help the limited mind of man to cope with the life we live.
That's deep. Okay, Linda.
Well, in the Bible it said God's time is infinite. I mean, there is no boundary. And we have set the boundaries of the time and given it that much.
Yep.
It's a man-made division of which we are squeezing in everything that we think is important. But when you think about it, when you think about the talents that people have, and it talks about that, so many times people as Christians feel obligated to volunteer for all sorts of things which God hasn't really gifted them in. And they're exhausted and they don't have enough time because they're volunteering for everything that comes up. And I think we sometimes tend to do things that weren't given for us to do.
Sure, there's a close connection between our use of time and the use of talents and gifts. A very good point. And I mean, you're kind of partnering there with Steve's answer on time. There is a distinction between God and time, and then the time that God has given us human beings, and then how we as human beings, under God's ability, have, you know, God put 24 hours in a day, but, you know, inventing the watch and so forth like that. But it all goes back to God giving us the ability and putting time out there in the first place. Webster's Dictionary defines time as the system of those sequential relations that any event has to any other, as past, present, or future. Also, indefinite and continuous duration regarded as that in which events succeed one another. Duration regarded as belonging to the present life as distinct from the life to come. System or method of measuring or reckoning the passage of time. Limited period or interval as between two successive events. A particular period considered as distinct from other periods. All right, think of life as a student. That was going through my mind.
Life, you know, is life.
You want those classes to be a certain period of time, right? And then that helps you get through that. Or we play sports, right? There's a definite period of time per quarter and so forth. Just in work as well, you know, we live. Time really impacts every aspect of our day, right? Whether we work or time, we're retired now, then there's time, what time's breakfast, what time's lunch, what time do I take my pills, what time I gotta pick up so-and-so. So time is intricate, it's woven into our life. So we recognize, though, we all have the same amount of time. 24 hours in a day, that's from the beginning, as we'll look at in a moment. How many minutes in an hour?
60.
And how many seconds in a minute?
60.
You know, that doesn't change, right?
But if you're holding your breath, a minute can seem like a long time. But if you're doing something fun, a minute goes by.
Exactly. It's like, you know, vacation. Yeah.
It takes forever to get there.
Or being a student, time goes slow, and being retired, time goes so quick.
Unless you're Mr. Bauer's class, then it goes really fast.
Well, that was my class too when I was teaching.
All right, Genesis 1, 14 and 19. John?
And God said, let there be lights in the expanse of the sky to separate the day from the night, and let them serve as signs to mark seasons and days and years. And let them be lights in the expanse of the sky to give light on the earth. And it was so. God made two great lights, the greater light to govern the day and the lesser light to govern the night. He also made the stars. God set them in the expanse of the sky to give light on the earth, to govern the day and the night, and to separate light from darkness. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the fourth day.
All right, so what does God share with us in the subject of time?
Night and day.
Yeah, it's day, night and day, day and night, morning, evening, 24 hours, okay?
Seasons. It marks everything in our lives.
It does, and so God created the markers for us. And so even before day four, there was morning and there was evening. There was that time. But now God has given us the markers of time.
But we've taken those markers and made them like slave masters.
And you know, again, He intended it for good, and we unfortunately, you know, we too often take what's been good, given us to good, and make it into something. Like you said, we become slaves to that clock rather than the other way around. So that leads to the beginning question, which we'll get to soon enough. What has not changed over time when it comes to the time people have?
They all have the same.
Yeah. Everyone's had the same, right? Throughout history. Morning and evening, 24 hours, that has not changed. What else, when it comes to time, has not changed?
Never enough of it.
Never enough of it, definitely.
It's squandered.
It's what?
It's squandered.
It's squandered.
Limited.
It's limited, right? And that gets us into that time of grace. So everyone has the same amount of time, which we are held accountable for, and there's an expectation for us to use our time, and ideally we recognize it to the glory of God. That's where the Christian stewardship comes in. But all people are to use it to God's glory. We just don't recognize that. But there is a limited amount of time when it comes to this time of grace. And so that's what we oftentimes refer to as a person's time to come to faith. Because when our time is up, it's too late to come to faith at that point. So that's one of the uses of time we'll talk about, helping people come to faith by God's grace. We also recognize in this Genesis account that God is orderly. Right? There was morning, there was evening. He created everything, not just randomly, but there was a reason why He created what He created on each day. You know, because look at what He created the day before. And what He was creating the day after, and now He provided those means by which there would be light provided, because what do we need to grow? What do plants need to grow? Light. What do human beings need? You know, we need light too. Some people need that artificial light during certain seasons just to help them. So, and what is Jesus? He is oftentimes referred to as the light, right? And that's the big light we definitely need. Who controls time? God does ultimately. We try to. You know, we have some control, but again, that's where we are God's workmanship. How are we using our time? That's why it's always a legitimate question. How are we using our time? So who controls the use of our time?
We do.
Yeah, I mean, God ultimately might.
Well, He's in charge of time at the same time, too. He has transcended beyond time and space as well.
He has transcended beyond, yes.
And so he could this time, if he could choose things that are beyond the limitation of our own time and space, he's unlimited at all.
And that's why, yeah, I mean, a day to him is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like a day. But to us, you know, using our time, and we'll get to that, Mike, or Andy first.
And we react negatively to the word control, because start to feel like we're under the thumb or something like that. Yeah. But I think if you really think about it under grace, you might say better who guides the use of our time.
Yeah.
When you think about the commandments and kind of moving forward in the life of grace, we're gifted time. It's really a gift. And, you know, it's not just an hour on Sunday. Right? Okay. We're supposed to be praying for alignment with God's good and perfect will throughout every moment that we're spending this time. Right?
Yeah.
And so it's a guide more than anything. It's a gift. Gotta be careful we don't run the risk of disrespecting it.
And that's a good point, because again, our human nature, who do we think is in control of our life? You know, we do. But you know, ultimately, God is in control, and God has given us this gift of time to use for His benefit. And what is, you know, what are ways to benefit Him? Well, benefiting others and benefiting ourselves too.
This is two more chapters in Genesis, chapter 3, where the fall happened and all that. Another, God does control time. In that case, He intervened and created an end time. Thankfully, this simple time will end. He put the angel garden of tree alive so that it wouldn't go on. And then I guess heaven, many think, will be timeless again. Go back in time.
Yeah. That's where Ephesians 2 comes in.
And He's controlling it for our benefit.
He does control it for our benefit, and He also then allows us to have some responsibility in how we use our time. Because again, He did not create robots, right? He wants the love from the heart. To Andy's point, He wants that love from the heart. And so he gives us the opportunity to manage our time. And thankfully, though, He's always there to intervene and correct and guide.
Back to the talents for the one that had the talent buried in the ground. He squandered his time and the energy on it because all he had to do was go to the bank. I mean, it wouldn't give him a lot of money, but it would have, you know, shown growth. What does God want us to do? Use our time wisely and our, you know, talents, you know, or money wisely as well. And that's why He's in trouble. It's not that God is out there with that hard task, Master, but don't hide it. Doesn't do you any good to say, I think just put a, you know, candle out and put them under a basket. I mean, you're not going to see it. Well, that's what He's getting at.
Yeah. All right, proper use of time. Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verses 24 to 26. Speaks to this. Jim?
A person can do nothing better than eat and drink and find satisfaction in their own toil. This too I see it from the hand of God. For without Him, who can eat or find enjoyment? To the person who pleases Him, God gives wisdom, knowledge, and happiness. But to the sinner, He gives the task of gathering, of storing up wealth, and handing over to the one who pleases God. This too is meaningless, chasing after the wind.
Okay, so what are some proper uses of our time? And why is King Solomon?
Drink and work.
Be happy.
Be happy, right? Content. What, you know, we have to eat. You know, we drink. You know, again, what are we using our... He's not talking about excessive, you know, hitting the bars all the time. Right?
He wants us to be happy.
Yeah.
And, I mean, that's like when I was teaching, I would teach my students, find the jobs you love and you'll never have to work a day in your life.
Right.
I mean, we don't have to be miserable.
No.
If we can do things... praise God that we're not miserable. Wow.
But look, you know what, God? Adam and Eve, were they created to work?
No.
Yes. When did work become a burden?
When they
sin. You know, so to your point, I mean, work doesn't have to be a burden, but because of sin in the world, it has become a burden. And sometimes, again, outside of our control as people we work with or employers or whatever it might be, they do their vocation, I can... and put some restrictions on it.
But it's half full or half empty.
Sure.
If you can put, I mean, I've worked in a lot of different situations with a lot of different people, and I always thought I could get along with anybody because that's just how I looked at things. I didn't let them get under my skin. And I think God gave me that talent to be able to do that.
And that's part of Christian stewardship, though, is putting ourselves in a position to be able to look at it from God's perspective, to look at people from God's perspective. You know, later on in Solomon, or in Ecclesiastes, but we'll get to that in a second hand.
Yeah, doesn't the action, the next chapter, ties in with this?
Yes.
First of the next chapter, but it's not listed here on time.
Go for it.
No, just on time for everything.
Yeah, there is. There's
going to be
time for mourning, time for laughter,
yeah.
And so forth. And again, without God, what is life, does Solomon say? Meaningless. Right, so recognize that. You know, how we're spending our time, how many people, you know, are misusing their time, and they're not happy. And even us as Christians, can we be not happy? Yeah, that's why we need to take a step back at time and evaluate, how we're using our time. Is God at first. You know, again, what does that mean, that God is first?
The Bible says, do whatever you do to glory and honor. And so regardless of whether you like your job or not, you know, circumstances drive you into positions that you really wouldn't choose for yourself. But if you keep that in mind, and Mr. Bauer has that as his tagline on his emails, do whatever you do to glory and honor. It doesn't matter. As long as you keep that in mind, you glorify God and you're using your time wisely, because at some point in time, who knows, someone will recognize that you may be in the wrong place and give you, but regardless of that, that's what we're supposed to do.
Yeah, I mean, again, God help us use the time that we have been given and the situations we are in. Help us use them to your glory. May He always, the light always be reflected from us towards Him in whatever situation, which is a good point as well. 1 Timothy 5:8. So as you're looking for that again, Solomon emphasizes this the things of life. Find satisfaction in the things of life. Use that time wisely. We're here to eat, to drink, to work. 1 Timothy 5:8, another use of our time.
Anyone who does not provide for their relatives, and especially for their own household, has none to faith and push them on.
Okay, so how are we to use our time?
Provide for our families.
Provide for our families, right? Again, we are to be productive. Idle hands. What do they say about idle hands? Devil's workshop. You know that word? God again created us to work. But after sin, work became a burden. So, another way, Galatians 6, 7 to 10.
Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good. For at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers.
There's a couple answers, at least a couple answers that can flow out of this section in relation to time and our use of it. That's the first point when it comes to our use of time.
We all have the same amount.
We all have the same amount, okay? It goes back to some of what we discussed earlier. There's an expectation for us to use our time wisely. We're going to be held accountable for our use of time. Because who's not going to be mocked? Who knows how we're using our time? You know, Andy touched on it earlier. Okay, Lord, I gave you that hour on Sunday. But what about all the other hours on Sunday and throughout the week? You know, again, everything we do needs to be done with God in mind. The other use of time mentioned here.
To do good.
Right? To be seeking out the needs of others and be aware of the needs of others, especially the family of believers.
My parents retired to a little Lutheran church in North Carolina, and my dad was out on the sit-down lawnmower one Sunday afternoon, and one of the elders pulled him out and said, don't work on Sunday, pretty much. Is the Wells Church, how does the Wells theology deal with that?
We don't work any day. No, not at all. See, right, that's under Old Covenant. And even that was a misuse. So, no.
That was just an old church, and I thought they did it forever and ever.
No, you know, again, it gets to the point, if you're missing church regularly, and you're using an excuse, well, I got this yard to take care of, you know,
those are
your priorities.
Yeah,
this is, right. So there's no, that's not living in freedom.
Well, the third commandment covers that. You know, we are to honor the Sabbath day. We don't have to worship on Saturday. All we can pick a day to worship on.
Sure. And we do have that freedom. If we know we have something, a project that needs to get done, and we look at the weather and it's supposed to rain or something, and it's an outdoor project, And we have worship on Saturday night or Monday night, or, you know, can we do that instead of Sunday morning? Yes, we have freedom to do that. God still can be the priority. He's still the priority in that situation. Yes, yeah.
The pastors work on Sunday.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, there's one day.
That's a labor of love.
Yeah, that's not work if you enjoy it. So we got several proper uses of work. Romans 12. How does this relate to time? Great.
Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will.
All right, what are some thoughts that jump out from this passage in relation to time? The first few words there.
Well, it's the result of God's mercy. I was thinking living sacrifices. A sacrifice is giving up something. So not being greedy with our time and selfish with our time, but unselfish and loving toward others, most importantly, serving God with it.
Yeah, because, again, God is the one who has saved us. God is the one who has given us the gift of time. And He has an expectation of us to use our time wisely. Okay, what is that living sacrifice that God has put me in position to do? Because again, by nature, we're looking at time as, this is my time. I'm going to do with it what I want to do. But is it always in sync with what God wants us to do? Now, that doesn't equate with, you know, church work necessarily. But are we using our time wisely? Do we have responsibilities? Do we have a to-do list? Are we intentionally ignoring it rather than doing that task? Are we giving it all if we're still working? In retirement, are we using that time wisely to encourage other people, to be of help to other people? You know, students, right? Are you using your time productively? You get 10 minutes extra in class. Are you using that productively? Or are you goofing around with it? You know, again, God will not be mocked. He sees what's going on. Again, we don't want to emphasize you have to, but again, if you have God's mercy, you have the opportunity to use this time wisely. Do it. You know, so the motive is there.
And quite literally, Jesus was a living sacrifice. He came and lived alive. Did He want to spend all that time with the disciples? Did He want to have to be the guy to come in and chase the money changers out of the temple? Did He want to, you know, He was a living sacrifice to that exact cause all the way through the crucifixion. So.
Yeah, that's a good point, you know, because sometimes what would He say when He was talking to His disciples? Right? So then he'd go and find time for prayer. Lord, give me strength to deal with these disciples, in a sense, but always with perfect love in his mindset. So recognize our use of time as an act of worship. How does that cause you to reflect on your time differently? Knowing that every minute of every day is an act of worship. Upon that. Hebrews 10:25. Another use.
Not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near.
Okay, another use of our time. Church, right? Gathering together, formal opportunities, worship, Bible study, fellowship events. Those are all opportunities for us to encourage one another. And help us stay prepared. All right, examine our use of time. How much time do we spend on providing for the family and or our needs of others? You know, answer that out loud, which is something to reflect on. How much time do we spend on social media?
Zero.
You know? How much time is spent behind a closed door playing video games when you could be a dad to your children, setting them an example? You know, again, what do children need from their parents? They need time. They love and encouragement. But if you're behind a closed door playing a video game, you know, are you giving them there? Or your wife? Or, you know, again, What are we not nurturing? What life is about relationships, right? The most important relationship between God and us, and then the relationships that God has given to one another, and the Ten Commandments summarize that up. You know, what are we doing with our time to help nurture relationships? Especially then, the one is a reason why the first three commandments are the first three commandments, because if we're not building that relationship with God, what's happening to those relationships with one another? Well, they're going south too. But we have that relationship with God intact, that's going to help benefit. And to Jerry's point earlier, you know, again, I'm not going to be kind just because they're being kind. I'm going to be kind even for that time. That's proper use of time. All right. How much time is just sitting around? Now, there's a time and a place, right, to sit around. But then there can be excessive sitting around. On things that really do not matter. How much time do we spend in the Word? Sharing the Word. What impact is there on us and others and how we spend the majority of our time?
If we don't use our time, we can become a burden to others.
Okay, we can become a burden to others. Yeah. We don't use our time. That goes back then to Solomon's point about, you know, if you have a responsibility, you're given a task, even if it's not work for pay, but you're a child, right? Or you're in the home. You know, there should be expectations. And then if you don't care about your expectation, how that impacts others, right?
Well, I think also we teach our children by what we do. You know, it's not a really do as I say, not as I do. We need to do it. To set the example. It's like work ethic.
Yep, setting the example, role model. It's
not only children.
Pardon?
Not only children. It's setting an example for.
For others too, yeah, children and those around us. And our own attitude is impacted by that. And that's where Solomon also in Ecclesiastes, I mean, excellent book again to always reread. You know, again, life without God is meaningless. And when we are we doing things that don't have God in mind? And how that impacts our attitude. You know, it goes back to, if I look at life half empty or half full. With God, I can look at it half full. I might just be above the line, but you know, again, we got that future really taken care of. Agree or disagree, we cannot do it all. Yeah, again, how we use our time. Because, to be honest with ourselves, I cannot do it all. Something's going to have to give, you know, and it goes back to those relationships again, too. It's not an excuse not to work hard, right? But it's also important to be realistic. And that's where our priorities come into play. You know, what are we living for? And that can change in our stages of life, right? I mean, we talk about when I'm in my 20s, how I use my time will be different from how I'm going to be in my 40s. Now, I don't. Time I don't see that, but I need to recognize that it will happen.
And well, we can't do it all based on our talents. There's some things I can't do.
No.
What? Other people have the talents to fill in and do things that others of us can.
It's nice of you to let us
thank you.
Help all of us along. Make us feel better.
Okay.
But what is doing it all? I mean, you know, you have a list, and if you define doing it all, you do all you can in that amount of time. And so, essentially, you're doing it all. So, I mean, I know that sounds goofy, but it's true. You can only do, you know, you do all you can in that period of time.
Yeah, so that's coming up with our priorities. So that's a good way to look at it as well. And who am I doing it for?
Usually it's me.
You know, if I'm doing it for God, too, right? I mean, God, is there guilt when it comes to God? Yeah. You know, if we're using our time wisely, right? But oftentimes, you know, we're trying to please somebody else. You know, trying to live up to somebody else's standard. And are those standards realistic? And so that kind of leads to what we're getting to in a moment. You agree or disagree, we can have it all.
It depends on how you define all.
Okay.
If all is the one thing needful, then we can have that through God's grace. We have salvation, and that's the thing that counts. But the other, you know, if all is all the goodies and stuff, we don't need it.
Yeah, so when you're seeing, oh, you're disagreeing, they're kind of meant to see both sides of it. And again, for what purpose? At what expense?
When? Do honeydews fall into that category?
Yes.
No, they shouldn't.
No, because they're never finished.
If I'm procrastinating, that's something that's going to, you know, again, if I'm going to make my spouse, for one example, if I really want to please my spouse, right, I'm going to pay attention to the honeydew list. Now, can I do it all? Maybe not. But that's where communication comes in. At least, you know, the timing of it, priorities come into play. Again, what are we living for is something we need to ask up. And as John pointed out, you know, where's all that stuff we're attaining to achieve here on earth? Where's it all going to end up? Yeah, in someone else's hands, you know, we can't take it to heaven. It doesn't mean it doesn't have a value now, but that, not into eternity. So is there unnecessary stress put on ourselves? Sure, there is, right? Even if we're trying to do the right things at times, we can put undue stress on us. We get stretched too thin at times. And so that's where, you know, we do have to learn to say no, but then we have to know when to say that and in what situations to say. You know, there's always a time for evaluation in our life. How much do we put stress upon others, intentionally or not?
Yes.
Yeah, right? Unfair expectations, right? Maybe they're not able to go as much as we are, so are we putting undue physical stress on them, which leads to emotional and spiritual stress? How much do we ask of the same people, even within the church? And so, unintentionally, we're putting undue stress on them. And we need to be conscious of that. What needs to change? Or is there too much guilt in our life? And if so, why is this? Right, there can be. Sometimes we feel obligated to keep up with others or to appease others, compare ourselves to others. It goes back to the motive and our use of time again. What needs to change, if anything? And what is the why and the how to make the change? Steve?
You need to trust more in the Lord. And that he's going to direct you more than trying to do it. Every time I do it, I muck up the water real well. So you have to rely on his direction, not ours.
All right, that was touched on earlier, right? God's direction we need to focus on and rely on. You know, looking at our spiritual and physical health, if our physical health is deteriorating, something's got to change, right? If our spiritual health, if we're not being fed, something's got to change. That needs to be the priority. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. And all these things then will fall into place in his good time for us. How we use our time, you know, if you're stuck in traffic, how are you using that time?
Chewing out the driver's
time. Yeah, especially for those who have those long commutes, there's a way to use that time productively. Even if it's it doesn't have to necessarily be a Bible reading, but it can be, but there's books that you can get and listen to, you know, that can be productive use of time, or
Christian meditation.
There's lots of good stuff out there. Galatians 4:4-7 emphasizes, for the sake of time here, I'm going to say, God's timing for our salvation. At just the right time, he sent his son into the world, who dealt with our guilt, who provides us with direction, purpose and motive. James 4:13-17 helps put our life in perspective. You know, Lord willing, we will do this or that this week. Lord willing, this or that, we'll do that today. Lord willing, we will, you know, do whatever a year from now. Now that reflects on our use of time. It goes back to what Steve said earlier too about God's direction. Third commandment, as you pointed to this earlier, right? Remember the Sabbath. Now that's the priority, and that helps us then filter out our time from there. Make sure we take advantage of the time for formal worship, the need for each other. Wrap up on time. If I only had more time, what would you do with it? And then as you answer that, I also ask, is it a priority? Will it matter 100 years from now? That's not meant to diminish what you're doing currently, but to help put it in perspective. Comment, it is easy to become the sidetrack when our eye is off the goal.
Yeah.
Sure, right? That's a daily trap we got to struggle with. So Lord, each day, help me find a perspective in this life and use my time wisely. Reading His Word, you know, it doesn't have to be full-blown, even just focusing on a Bible passage. One verse. Can you just help focus the time? For me, it's usually helpful to do that early in the day. Because then you get sidetracked and it's hard to get back to it and focus on it. Matthew 6, emphasizing again, God is the priority. But flexibility is needed as well. Today is enough trouble of its own. The Lord is not so rigid. So sometimes give yourself a break too, right? We put undue stress on ourselves. Mark 8 reminds us of the purpose of life and what we're living for, how using our time reflects our priority. So that goes back to this last question. Is man made for time or time for man?
Time is made for man.
Time for man. What's the significance of that?
Use it.
Right? To God's glory. And don't be dictated by it. But use it.
Matt. Can I share a quick illustration? Yep. So in my classroom, I use this resource that uses pictures to teach leadership principles. So one of the pictures on time management is picture a jar, picture you have some big rocks, some pea gravel, and some sand. Big rocks are the most important things in life, sand is the least important. If you dump the sand in first, then the pea gravel, then the big rocks, they won't all fit. But if you put the big rocks in first, then the pea gravel, then the sand, you kind of, you know, it'll all filter into spaces between the big rocks. And in the end, you know, what's most important gets done, and there's probably time for what's least important too, but if you get that backwards, what's most important won't get done. So, just a little picture.
I appreciate sharing. We'll pray then.
Oh, Paul. Well, I think Luther put it in a real perspective. He said, everything in this world I've had in my hands, I've lost. Everything I've put in God's hands, I'll have forever.
Yeah, everything I put in my hands, I lose. Everything in God's hands, I have forever. Good. So we pray, Lord, we thank you for your mercies, fresh and new today as well. Thank you for reminding us of this fact, and may this truth motivate us to reevaluate our use of time and use it to your glory, to help us in whatever vocation we are to carry out that vocation faithfully, using our time, the gift of time, to meet those obligations, responsibilities, not because we have to, but because we get to, all to your glory and honor. Feed us through your word is truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Enjoy the rest of your time today. Next week, again, reminder, turn the clock ahead.